This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 1,400 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And for our audience, the first 2 months are completely free if you sign up at curiositystream.com/TWIT and use the promo code TWIT. And by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit. Today on KNOWHOW,
we're live from NAB, podcasting special, part one.
Welcome to Know How. It's the Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballas here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next 14, 15 hours, we're going to be showing you some of the tech here at NAB that we found that we think is going to be helpful for the beginning podcaster. Brian,
yeah.
You have been working your tail off for the last 2 days.
Is that different from usual? Yeah, that's actually very different from usual. But yeah, I've been switching the board for the whole time we've been at NAB. This is the only time I've taken a break from that. But fortunately, we've got John over there doing
right,
it.
Right, yeah. He's taken over the special key space. Now, at NAB, we've seen quite a bit of tech come through here at the LiveU booth,
mm-hmm.
where we've been sponsored by both LiveU and by Panasonic and by NewTek, who gave us this wonderful space to broadcast from. What has impressed you the most? Because you've seen it all being behind that desk.
All the stuff. I mean, first I have to say NewTek because that's what I've been using to do this whole thing. The Panasonic PTZs are pretty sweet too. I really like the optical zoom they have on it because I've been able to pan all sorts of places.
Right. That's nice.
And then zoom in and spy on people.
I think we call that a force multiplier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or right, something.
Sure. No, so I really like that. The other thing I really liked was the LumaCube. The little tiny light that lights everything up. So I think that would be great for something that we're about to get into, which is talking about podcasting.
Yeah. Now, we will be showing you all of that tech on KNOWHOW at a future date. But first, you know what? We've got some special guests who have come to the booth who are willing to share their knowledge about what you need to get into the podcasting world.
And probably this is the best one to start with because most importantly for podcasting is audio.
Audio, yes. Well, we've talked about this before where people can kind of forgive bad video a little bit,
right.
But if you have choppy audio, if you have audio that's tinny, it just doesn't sound right, they turn you off almost immediately.
Well, they can forgive seeing these faces on a show, but as long as the audio sounds good.
Precisely. Which is why we are very happy to welcome Gary Boss from Audio Technica. Gary, thank you for coming into the LiveU booth.
It is my pleasure.
Now, Gary, I don't have to be introduced to Audio Technica. Before I was working with TWiT, I was using AT2020s. I had an AT2020 XLR and an AT2020 USB.
Yep.
And it was my mic of choice just because it sounded good. It wasn't terribly expensive. It was really a good entry mic that stayed with me. It wasn't one that I tossed away. And they were pretty dang durable. Tell me, have you gone a long way since the 2020?
Well, actually, we have. We've moved into the 2020 USB Plus, and we took the 2020 USB, added the USB output, and then we also added a headphone output, so we can do multi-track for those people who want to do that. And most recently, we've incorporated high-resolution converters in it, so now we're 2496 with the USB-I.
Right, which is going to move us over to a faster bus, the ability to have higher resolution sampling. So, you know, Brian and I have talked about this before. When a podcaster is starting out, what would you say are the things that he or she really needs to watch for? What are the things that are easy to make a mistake with as they're starting their podcasting career?
Well, you know, a couple things is when you get your first microphone and you set up your first podcasting space, you really want to look at your environment and really know the microphone. So it's really important to work the microphone before you actually start. So you understand the idea of polar pattern, You want something that's directional. You want the microphone positioned correctly, which we just did there on the fly, which is because we're live here. But yeah, so really understand your signal chain. But really the first part of that, as we all talked about, was that microphone. So getting something that's nice and directional. And pretty much everything that I brought to show you here is going to be a cardioid pattern, which is nice because it's forgiving in the sense if you're a first-time podcaster, you might not know how to work a microphone, and if you start working off the microphone, you know, it's not as comfortable. So cardioid is a really good first place to start.
We've seen that before where people will buy a nice microphone, but then you see it, they've got it pointed the wrong way.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like completely unhearable, but you notice the echo and you start saying, I don't think he's speaking into the right end on that mic. You've seen that a lot. As a TD, you see that basically every week.
Well, yeah, you see that a lot when people come in studio and then they'll move the mic further away because they're trying to do something in front of them. But I think what I've noticed a lot is that some of the products that have been coming in and out for NAB, they've been simplifying and making it easier for people to use. Now, you said this is the eye. This looks pretty portable.
Yeah, so this is the USB-I, and remember, you know, Audio-Technica comes from a kind of a professional audio space, so we got our start in live sound and recording. So this actually started as a recording microphone that was adopted by the podcasters. So when we converted it to a USB output, it was just kind of a no-brainer to go to the iDevice as well. So this will function with both USB and iDevice. You get both cables. But the one thing I wanted to point out, and we're talking about first-time podcasters, right now we're talking on these microphones, which are an end-address microphone.
Right.
The 2020, which looks surprisingly the same shape, will not work if you do this on it.
And I have seen people do that with 2020s before.
So this is a side address microphone.
Right.
So you talk in like a studio microphone rather than a broadcast microphone.
Okay, let's talk about something that I know a lot of our more experienced viewers will think of, and that is condenser versus a dynamic.
Right.
We kind of like dynamics at the studio because it's got that big bottom end. Other people really like condensers because they can give more accurate sound. Where would you fall on that? So for a beginning podcaster, what do you think they're at a disadvantage using a condenser or a dynamic based on what their topic might be?
Now that's a good question, but I think it really comes down to both microphones have completely their own purpose. So, you know, these are dynamic microphones. And a dynamic microphone, you have to work a little closer if you want to get that radio voice. A condenser microphone, by its very nature, is more sensitive. So especially if someone's on a budget and you're going to use one microphone to do a two-person podcast, I would definitely pick a condenser microphone every time.
Right, of course. Now, let's go. Bring your products over here.
All right, here we go.
Let's actually get them into the light because people need to see.
Here we go. We got
this is the one I like so much. This is the 2020, although this is the I version. Is it the same element, the same capsule that I would have if I bought the 2020 USB or the 2020 XLR?
Yeah, that's another good question, because what we did is we came out with a very, very popular XLR microphone. It was one of the best-selling studio microphones in the world. And so we took that capsule, and we wanted to take a proven capsule and just make it in different form factors for different people to use. So yeah, that is the exact same capsule in all iterations of the 2020.
You just changed the interface.
That's correct.
One is straight XLR, which I actually go XLR to a USB converter.
Right, and that's the next step up, you know.
Right, and then the other one is straight USB. This one, of course, also gives you the option to plug it into an iDevice.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, this one over here, what's this? I haven't seen this one before.
Yeah, so we see this. This is getting a lot of traction with first-time podcasters. Now, this is a dynamic mic, and it looks like what you would see in like a rock and roll situation, a handheld microphone. But the thing that's very unique about this is it has both the XLR output and the USB output.
Okay.
Hang tight. We have a headphone output with a level control. So now I can do zero latency monitoring from the microphone. If I have a garage band, I'm singing on it in the basement, and then I'm taking it up and I can use it for podcasting, Skype, whatever. And it's a simple plug and play operation rather than using the interface, which might be more advanced.
I like that.
I like this. Yeah, exactly. Because this is the one device you would carry with you. This is studio. If you try to use this elsewhere, it's probably not going to give you a really good experience. This could be your stick mic. This could be your studio mic.
Right.
You could have a USB interface. You could have an XLR interface. Now, where do we go next?
Okay.
Because I mean, you're building on your 2020, and you're building on the stick mic. what's Audio-Technica got in store?
So really, once you get past this where you have a dedicated internal converter, now you're moving up into, you're using an external converter, and now we're going into professional. Now we're rivaling radio station quality stuff using external processors. And we had introduced something most recently, and that's this guy. I'm going to take it out of our little housing so it doesn't hurt anyone.
Look at this thing, Brian.
Yeah, that looks
so
awesome.
You can hold that guy. So that is called the new BP40. Now, that is our large diaphragm end address. This is a crazy, and your arm's going to get tired there in a second because it weighs about a pound and a half. So you can also use it as a weapon,
wow,
frankly.
And so it looks solid.
So the nice thing about this microphone is there's a lot of industry standards that have been around, and they're great microphones, don't get me wrong. This is our first foray into a purpose-built dynamic broadcast microphone.
Nice.
And so what we've done is we've taken kind of our transducer know-how, that's capsule talk, and we've now created a capsule that kind of, I don't know, blurs the line between dynamic and condenser. Because it still has that big, beefy radio sound, but it's a very fast diaphragm, so it has the transients, what would translate to articulation.
Right,
so it's got the big, beefy radio and then real articulate top end to it. And that's our BP40. So that would be kind of the top end of the podcasting spectrum. So we kind of have the whole generation of beginner, middle, and Papa Bear.
That's a little bit of a holy grail, because you've always had to choose between that big, attractive, big bottom sound and the more accurate sound. This sounds like I can get the big bottom I want, but then higher up, I'm not sacrificing a lot with a heavier diaphragm.
That's correct. And now this is a hypercardioid pickup pattern. So this is going to be very directional. And especially in a space like this, you know, it's really going to suck a lot of that background noise out.
That's fantastic. Gary, thank you so very much for
Certainly.
Joining us. Now, if they wanted to find out more about Audio-Technica, more about all the products you might be offering, where can they go?
Well, here at the show, our booth. But if you're not here, you can go to our website, which is simply audio-technica, which is like technical with Noel, .com. So audio-technica.com.
Gary Boss from Audio-Technica, thank you very much.
Great. Hey, thanks for having me.
And we will definitely be showing off your gear on a future in-depth episode of Know How. I mean, it is one of the most affordable and one of the best sounding products I've ever used. Thank you for joining us.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Brian, you know, mics are the start of it.
Right.
We like having good mics because, again, if you don't have that good audio, it's not going to be watchable.
Right. But I think the most difficult part is figuring out where you're going to start out. And I feel like with those products that we just saw, I would start with the one on the desk.
Right.
Get into recording audio and stuff like that. And then once you're doing things where you're walking around like on the show floor or something, get the next one. And then finally, if you want to go pro or studio.
Yeah, if you're ready to spend a little bit more cash. I will say this. Look, we love our Haro PR40s. These are what we use throughout the studio. It's what we're using here at the show. But there is something to say about a microphone that sounds just really pure, really good, and costs like a quarter.
I think if anyone ever watches Ham Nation, Bob has gone over the details of a condenser mic versus one of these and how he put this mic together. But, I mean, that last one we just played with, that thing felt solid.
I know.
It felt like they CNC machined it out.
It was like a solid piece of metal, and it had, I don't know. I want to try it. I want to hear it. Now, before we get to trying and hearing other microphones, I thought we should shift it up a little bit because, we want to talk about mics. We want to talk about cameras. But there is one thing that has been, it's become more available even to beginning podcasters, and that is the ability to stream something live from a venue like what we're doing here at Twit TV at NAB 2016 in Las Vegas. There are several vendors who do that very well. LiveU is, of course, who we've partnered with, and their streams are fantastic and they're high quality. But you know what? There is a company out there that has been offering some very novel approaches to streaming. In fact, I could use their product to stream from a quadcopter.
Really?
Yeah. You know who I'd really want to talk to?
I feel like they're here at the booth now.
I feel like maybe we should talk to someone from Teradek. let's do that. We're speaking with John Landman from Teradek. John, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now Teradek.
Yes.
Quite simply, it's how you stream your content.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we talk about Teradek, there's always that idea of, Teradek used to make a lot of other devices for other manufacturers. You allowed other manufacturers to OEM some of your designs. And now you're making pure streaming goodness. Tell me about that.
Well, yes, we have, over the past 4 years, delivered about 45,000 encoders that are used on a daily basis to stream.
So you know how to do it.
We do.
Yes.
We do. And we can do it over multiple different methods. We can do it over Ethernet. We can do it over Wi-Fi. We can do it over cellular. And, you know, here at NAB, we've released a new way of doing it. We have the ability to bond wirelessly 4 cell phones together.
There we go.
Right? We're calling that Friends with Bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. That's really been the key. It's what LiveU allows us to do. And it's what any streaming device really needs to look at. With the proliferation of ultra-fast LTE cellular networks, you have to take advantage of that. If your product can't bond what's available in the middle of a field or in the middle of a city, then it's not really a streaming product. It's a product that you can sometimes stream from when you get a solid Ethernet connection.
That's true. But our goal has also been to bring it down to a price that the average consumer can afford.
Yes.
Right?
Let's talk about that.
We are not focused on the A-list of customers that maybe LiveU is and does very well with. We look at a much broader range of customers. We find that more and more customers are using cellular to act as a backup system
right.
for an Ethernet drop. How many times have you gone to a location to stream when somebody hands you an Ethernet connection and, oops, it's blocked by a firewall, or the port's not open, or it doesn't give you the bitrate that you want? So having the ability to go to an event and stream and back yourself up using cellular, it has become very valuable. Especially if you know you're being paid to, or this is something that you're trying to do successfully, right? You should also always think to yourself, what is my backup plan? What's going to happen when I go to an event and I don't get what I need?
Right? Exactly.
You know, that happens quite often.
Well, and so you've piqued my interest on that side, but I kind of want to see the hardware you've got behind you there.
Okay. So this is our little guy called the Cube 655. Okay.
Put him right down here.
There
John
it is.
Will be able to get a shot of it. There we go.
Very cute little thing, about the size of a large packet of cards.
It's not much bigger than my cell phone.
It's not much bigger. That guy takes both HDSDI and HDMI in, encodes it H.264 up to 15 megabits per second, 1080p.
So this is a capture, encoding, and transmission device.
Yes.
I love that.
Nice.
Okay. Now, point out some of the finer features. So, of course, we've got a screen so we can find out what's going on. We've got antennas so I can reach out to the various providers that I've contracted with to give me service. On the back here, it's a bristling with ports. I've got SDI, I've got HDMI, I've got Ethernet, I've got power and audio. So you've pretty much covered all the bases here.
We hope so.
What can I stream to this?
What can you
stream? Oh, and what can I stream from this? So what
where
can I connect?
Can I stream? Okay. We can stream to any CDN that we wish, and what we're actually releasing at the show today is a huge announcement that we can stream live to Facebook Live.
Ooh.
So directly from a professional camera in high definition, we can go live to our Facebook page.
Okay,
that's
so
pretty cool.
This is big. This
yeah,
is
that's
big.
That's actually really big. Yeah, if I can stream directly to Facebook, or I'm assuming it does YouTube as well.
YouTube live, stream.
That takes out that middleman. I don't have to worry about an endpoint on my side
that
restreams to that network. I just go straight from wherever I am to where my
viewers are. Yeah, absolutely. That's how we are seeing the interest in corporations wanting to stream to their Facebook page. Their viewers are already there. We did the first ever live Facebook page on Friday with a company called Vice. And they were streaming from the event in New York where I think there was a lot of demonstrations going on. And within 30 seconds, they had 10, 15,000. You know, it was counting. 15,000.
Yeah, we like that.
16,000, 17,000. By the end of the event, there were 110,000 people watching the live stream.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so take this through us. If we had someone out there who was thinking about streaming from their live event, how would they use this? How would they purchase one? How much is it going to cost? And what do they need to do to set up a relationship with the CDN that they'll be streaming to?
Okay. Well, this is actually the highest level of encoder we make. We make encoders from $400 up to $5,000, okay? So we have a large range of encoders. This particular unit is a $2,500 encoder. We make a similar one with HDMI in only that is under $1,000. Okay. Any camera fits on top. In the $1,000 unit, we have a 3-hour battery.
Wow.
Right. So nice. you can go live from wherever you are. Pull out your phones, bond the phones together. Away you go. We've really made this simple.
This is the unit that I would put on top of my quadcopter. It really is. I think so.
Yes.
We got to try that once. Stream that to Facebook. Now, if they wanted to find out more about Teradek, if they want to find their options, if they want to find the menu, in fact, wouldn't you bring over all your hardware over here so they can see?
Well, this is something completely different.
Oh, okay. Wait,
completely
wait,
different.
Oh, wait, no.
That we have released at the show.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so sorry. At the show, we have about 40 VR camera manufacturers.
Of course.
Approximately.
Yes.
VR is big here, right?
Yes.
So one thing that all of these camera manufacturers have as a problem is how do you monitor the VR that you're shooting, right? You can't run cables from the cameras because those VR rigs are typically look like, you know, lollipops in the middle of a field, right?
Right.
So what we have created is a product called Sphere, okay, that takes in 4 HDMI feeds. So let's assume we're using a GoPro VR rig, which is quite popular, and I've seen a lot of those at the show here. We take those 4 feeds into the Sphere, we encode those, and then stream them wirelessly to an iPad.
Okay.
So once we get them into the iPad, we are now live stitching them in the iPad. So once we've live stitched them in the iPad, we're able to live stream them in VR. I will show you, we are live streaming our show in VR with the Sphere from our stand today. You can download the app. It's called NAB Space VR. And here we have, for the first time ever, a VR stream done to Ustream. Okay. Yeah, NAB.
And this is real time through all the interference of NAB.
Yep, let's have a look. Let's see if it goes. There you go. So.
Wow.
Oh,
keep it there. There you go.
We are looking at our stand in VR that has been real-time stitched on an iPad.
That is crazy.
Yep, and we actually are giving away free goggles there to put it on the goggles. There you go.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty cool. And we can actually aggregate these together. So we can put 2 spheres together so we can stream 8 and stitch 8 cameras.
So it's doing all the process, the stitching process in the box?
And no, then it's doing it on the iPad.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's yet another product that Leo's going to have to own.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking that too.
Yes.
John, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. Could you please tell them where they can find Teradek
on
the
please,
web?
Yes, please visit us on the web at www.teradek.com.
And we've been speaking with John Landman from Teradek. If you need to stream anything, be it straight cameras or VR, you need to check them out. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on, yeah.
Bye, guys.
Now, you know what I want next?
What's that?
I'm a
VR drone?
I'm looking down the list, and I would really like to help our audience out with maybe if they want to build a high-performance workstation.
I mean, that would benefit me, too, so
absolutely,
I'd be up for that.
Absolutely. But you know what? Before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank sponsor of this special edition of Know How from
Very
NAB.
Special.
Now, Brian, you know how much I love new advertisers?
You do.
I do. I do.
Yeah,
it's
you talk
it's
about
always
it all
fun.
The time.
It's always a great thing whenever I can talk about a brand new supporter of Know How, and guess what? We've got one today, and it's a doozy. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted something like a streaming media service that focuses just on geek content?
Yeah, I mean, that was what first attracted me to Tech TV.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we can actually get that. How about a streaming service that only does documentaries, that only does nonfiction science content, that only does the type of content that geeks like you and I actually care about?
I would like that, yeah.
Well, guess what? We've got it. It's called Curiosity Stream. Now, Curiosity Stream is possibly the best way for you to satisfy your geek lust, your techno lust, your need for science, for documentaries, for all things geekdom. It's the world's first ad-free nonfiction streaming service founded by John Hendricks, the founder of Discovery Communications. So, you know, he knows a few things about what we geeks love. It's got over 1,400 titles and 600 hours of content. It's available in 196 countries worldwide. It's available on many platforms, including a web app, Roku, Android, iOS, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Amazon Kindle, and Apple TV. It supports a wide variety of science and technology content, plus nature, history, and many more topics. Over 50 hours of 4K content. You want to test that 4K TV? Do you want to test it with content that you actually enjoy, not just some random skateboarding scene you get from, you know, a website? Well, that's exactly what this is for. Now, what I really enjoy is the fact that it includes interviews and lectures that I'm not going to find anywhere else. It's content that's only interesting to geeks. It includes things like Stephen Hawking's Universe. It's a series where Stephen Hawking himself traces the history of astronomical theories and technology. Things like The Next World, featuring Mr. Kaku. It's talking about the future of technology, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and other big technological questions. You get things like The Road to the Singularity with Jason Silva and other experts who explore the inevitable arrival of superhuman intelligence in this CuriosityStream original documentary. If you are interested at all in science, technology, engineering, if you want the content that no one else cares about but you do because you have a passion for science, you owe it to yourself to check out CuriosityStream. They've got monthly and annual plans available starting at just $2.99 per month. Less than a cup of coffee. What do you want to do? To get gassy and bloated on a latte or fill your mind with sweet, sweet science? You can check out CuriosityStream at curiositystream.com/twit. That's curiositystream.com/twit, and use the promo code TWIT during sign up to get unlimited access to the world's top documentaries and nonfiction series. Completely free for the first 60 days. That's two entire months free and on one of the largest 4K repositories available on the web. Just go to curiositystream.com/twit and use the code TWIT and sign up. And we thank CuriosityStream for their support of Know How. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
You want to talk a little bit about horsepower?
Yes, because the big things that have been going on at NAB, VR and stitching stuff together, all the hardware you're going to need to put that together, I feel like this next thing is going to be helping with that.
I think so. Now, at Showstoppers, we had the chance to speak with AMD about one of their brand new workstation products, an incredible piece of hardware that was really designed for people who do video editing, who do VR work. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a video game card that could be used for workstations.
Right.
It was a workstation card. Well, we talked to the folks at AMD, and we said, we want to have you on Know How, but they had a better idea. They said, you've talked to us. Why not talk to one of our customers, one of the people who's actually bought our hardware and tried it out?
Okay, I have a feeling he's right there.
You know, magically...
Through
the magic of the TriCaster, he's sitting next to me. It's Mr. Oliver Kibblewhite with Rewind. Now, you, sir, you're actually a user of AMD's workstation products.
Yeah, very heavily, actually. I apologize for the slightly croaky voice. You know,
That's good.
Yep. Yeah, we use their products quite extensively in both our 360 video production workflows as well as in our real-time VR.
Yeah. Now, actually, why don't you go ahead and move the hardware here so that our technical director can do his thing with our PTZ camera. This is the Fire Pro W9100. Now, it looks like any other video card. In fact, it might even look less sexy than some of the video cards out there.
Until you look at the back of it.
Exactly. And you realize that, no, this is something different. I've got six outputs to drive six simultaneous displays. I've got an incredible amount of memory and a processor that was designed specifically for workstation tests. Tell me a little bit about why you chose the Fire Pro.
So this is a brand new version of the Fire Pro W9100 with a total of 32 gigabytes of GDDR5, which making it the most powerful workstation graphics card out there on the market today. When you're rendering high bitrate 360 video from source files in excess of 250 gigabytes per minute, you need to be crunching that data on the graphics card without shifting it on and off between frames. So this card really enables us to push high frame rate specifically for rendering stitched content.
All right. We have the same question here. I know my partner. And that is, well, that sounds nice, but can't I do that with the latest from NVIDIA? Can I get one of their new 980 Blacks, the Titanium series, and get the same sort of throughput? I mean, they tell me with all those cores, I can use it for gaming and I can use it for processing, for rendering.
So it doesn't really matter how many cores you have at the end of the day. The cores can only work with the data they have accessible to them, And the vast quantity of graphics memory on this card means that those cores on the card can access that content speedily. So you're not reliant on the bottleneck of the PCIe bus and things like that for shifting data on and off the card.
Okay. Well, that answers the question that we had, which is, what makes something a workstation product versus a standard graphics product?
Exactly. And speaking of standard graphics products, we have something in the, should we say the middle ground?
Okay, yeah, let's look at it.
So we'll take that out of the way.
So wait, that's the gold standard, and there's going to be people out there who are going to say, well, how much is the gold standard? If you have to ask, you can't afford, actually, that's about $4,000. So, but look at something in the middle. What do we have in the middle?
So what we've got here.
Ooh, and it comes with a water cooler.
Yeah, so this is a new Radeon Pro Duo, I think is the correct title for it. This is effectively two AMD Radeon Fury X cards on one board. So you've got two cores, 8 gigabytes of GDDR5 split between the two cores, specifically targeted for rendering real-time virtual reality. So I'm not talking 360 video, I'm talking true VR.
Okay.
So with AMD's new Liquid VR SDK, you can split your left eye and your right eye to a core each. Previously, virtual reality technologies and engines haven't supported rendering across Crossfire or SLI due to the limitations of motion prediction mostly. You can't start rendering a frame until you finish the frame before. And this means that we can basically effectively double our rendering power in a very easy way.
I love this. Okay.
It's also a complete beast.
Okay, we're geeking out a little bit over here because we've built workstations on the show before. In fact, our studio just finished the ultimate virtual reality gaming machine.
I think 980 Ti is what
980 Ti. And, you know, we kind of think of that as the high watermark, but it's absolutely true. When you actually start doing rendering work, you do see the limitations of the gaming parts.
Exactly.
They're good. I mean, I'm not going to downplay them. They're fantastic. In fact, for what they do, especially if you game, they're wonderful. But as you said, there is a little something extra you need if you're doing professional video work.
So on our sort of demonstration experiences, we often use the high-end gaming cards because for a per unit price, they're a lot cheaper. So we use something like the R390 or the Fury X for demonstration content, but when you're developing, you want that overhead, you want the ability to not have to optimize your content before you finish working out what your experience is going to be. And that's where sort of both the mid-level graphics card here and the high-end workstation graphics cards gives you that extra power to make sure that your content is brilliant.
We've been speaking with Oliver Kibblewhite from Rewind. He was the customer that was custom chosen by AMD to come up and represent their new workstation products. Thank you so very much for speaking with us. Now, of course, if they want to find out about these products, they go to AMD. But I want to thank you for being with us. If they want to find out about you and about Rewind, where can they go?
So you can find us on the internet, obviously, at rewind.co and Twitter at rewind.co.
Oliver, thank you for spending time with us. And
thank you for having me.
And thank you for explaining the difference between a gaming product and a workstation product. I think it's a very important distinction.
Likewise.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, now this throws me into chaos because now I need to buy a $4,000 video card.
There was one question that I was thinking about asking, the age-old, will it play Crysis? I'm pretty sure it'll play Crysis.
I think it will actually create Crysis for you. So there's that.
And you can experience it in a VR world. Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the first time I've heard from graphics professionals who say, you know, this whole buildup of multiple GPUs, of more and more power, doesn't necessarily translate into faster rendering speeds. You do need a custom-built product that can take the streams as they're coming off the CPU, and that's not always the gaming part.
Right. And especially if you're in a niche, well, not niche, but you're in a industry where you're now dealing with file sizes of, what was it, like 200 gigabytes for a minute?
Yep.
Or a second?
You're not going to wait for that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and move into something a little bit, a little different. You see, we haven't talked about cameras yet, but I don't want to talk about just any camera. I want to talk about the kind of cameras that you're going to find here at NAB, the ones that are sparking people's imagination. And so, you know, we got to be talking about 360. I am here with IC Realtek, Mark Scherengo. Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Now, in the PR pitch that got me excited, that told me to tell my producer we got to have them on our show, they said that this is the first designed to be 24-hour use 360 camera.
Yeah, that's what the exciting thing about being here at the NAB show. I come out of the industry of a lot of different cameras, helped launch the first 360 camera in the market 3 years ago. But IC Realtek designed a camera that was announced on Monday with YouTube for live broadcasting. It's 24/7. It's always on. It doesn't overheat. It captures 360 experience. It's a beautifully made camera for broadcasting, not only for the home, but for social and vloggers too.
Okay, so let's start with the basic question here, because we've seen a lot of 360 cameras. We do a lot of these conferences, and everyone has their solution. Can you bring your hardware out? Let's go ahead and take a look at what it actually looks like. So this is the you're calling it the Ollie?
The Ollie. The Ollie. See it all.
So you've got two camera sensors on either side. I'm assuming they probably do, what, like 200 degrees?
180 degree capture.
180, okay.
Then it's stitched together. It's two lenses, two processors, and then it all puts the image together.
Okay, the first question is, from me, is going to be, why two sensors? I've seen cameras that will do 3, 4, 6, 8 cameras and stitching them together. And they say that more cameras gives me more resolution, gives me a nicer, smoother image. So why just two?
Well, right now, the two sensors is designed very simply to be the most affordable camera on the market for live broadcasting. Our competitors that were announced, only actually one other with YouTube camera Monday, is a $2,000 solution.
Okay.
We're under $500. So if you want to get started in this immersive experience broadcasting live, we're bringing together this first introductory camera that helps anybody. You can broadcast your own birthday party. You can broadcast your own anniversary party. We do things like night vision, so we can help you with live events and concerts. So it's a neat 360 experience that allows someone to get involved, as this is the world of VR and 360 since CES.
I like that.
The other part to this, and this is what really brought my attention, because there are a lot of 360 and VR cameras out there. You said this one was designed to be used 24/7. This is always on, always streaming, always ready to be accessed, always ready for you to log in with your mobile device. Why is that a challenge?
It's a challenge for a lot of the other manufacturers because they created event cameras. You turn on, you capture, you record, then you post. Our background, surveillance security, we always had to be on. So when we created something that was 360, we not only said it has to always capture, but we're the only 360 that gives you cloud services, so you never miss a thing. So even if you're not watching it live, you can go back through our cloud services, which each person gets for at least 24/7 for free, 24 hours a day, go back and check something you missed. So you never miss a thing. So for baby monitors on steroid, for pet monitors, for parent care, for other ways of making your peace of mind for your home, this camera, we want it to be the everyday use camera on top of all the exciting things the VR world and broadcasting offers.
That's actually a very interesting distinction. The event camera, which we see plenty of those here, really high quality. They're designed for specific use. Maybe you're rock climbing, whatever. And then there's this. And this is sort of, well, no, shouldn't your camera always be 360? Doesn't it make more sense for you to have visibility around your sensor rather than just pointing in one direction? And the fact that you can give it to me at a price point that is not heart attack territory, that makes it, well, much of an easier sell for me.
Yeah, if our goal is that you use our camera every day for whatever you want to, for checking back on what's going on at home, for things that you've missed, if you find this camera as something valuable for your everyday life and it goes on your tablet or your phone, you can check it when you want to check it. You can go back and check a recording so you don't miss a thing. We want to bring that peace of mind with that cool new technology. And this show's given us a whole bunch of options because of YouTube's relationship on live. Things we haven't even thought of. So, for example, the Miami Heat, a live broadcast of their practice is going to happen. We have other live broadcasts from a professional area. And then all the vloggers who want to see the behind the scenes, for example, this area.
Right.
Would you like to see what the audience looks like now? If you had a camera set here, not only will they be looking at us, they can scroll and look at the audience and see their reaction.
The founder of our network, Leo Laporte, he has, for the last 8 months, he has been drooling, waiting for something that he can set up right above our technical director so that our audience can log in and just see everything around, not just what we're pointing the cameras at, but get an experience of what's going on in the studio. And that's something that a camera like this can do that you can't get with anything else.
We have two-way mic in this. So you have two-way talk.
I don't know if we want that.
Exactly. So you can have your boss say, hey, get to work.
Now, it would probably be wasted on me because most of the time it would just be me sitting at a desk programming. That's probably not the most entrancing 360 content. However, my co-host here, he actually rides motorcycles. You go outside. I don't get that.
Every once in a while, yeah.
That's not good. Do you see yourself doing 360? I mean, we've
absolutely
all seen the demo of YouTube going around the track. We've seen the demo of the guy going down the ski slope. Do you see a future for 360 content everywhere?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, GoPro was here yesterday. They showed us the Osmos.
Yeah, the 15,000.
The Go Ball.
Yeah, very nice.
Very cool. And when you're doing something that's kind of like an action sport, like motorcycle riding, you're outside or something, you don't always want to have to point the camera where you're trying to view. So especially with motorcycle riding, it's like you want to be able to switch between looking forward or looking behind you, or there's something that happened on the side that you didn't catch because the GoPro was only facing forward. Like, and I like the aspect, is there a battery to this?
There's an adapter that has a battery removable media that goes underneath it. One of the exciting things about what you're talking about for the consumer experience or someone. So just imagine watching NASCAR on TV.
Right.
You see one view. So now imagine, say, if you want to see Jeff Gordon's car that has a 360 camera on it, go to jeffgordon.com, and now you can see from his perspective all around the car.
I like that.
It's just a different immersive experience.
Definitely.
It does change your expectations. The first time you see the view from a race car, but you get to point it. You get to point your camera where you want it. It's like, oh, yeah, I'd like this. This is cool.
For 2 days, I've seen producers scared who like to control content. So having the audience being able to see what they want to see, it's pretty scary, system producers.
And you know what? I'm a firm believer that all content that is filmed with 360, at some point we're going to build in a feature where you can see what the director wants, but then, you know what, you can watch it again and pan over a little bit or look someplace else. It really adds to the replayability of some of our favorite content.
You can watch the band perform, and if you wanted to see the audience reaction, you watch it differently from the audience view. So it really is truly the beginning of immersive experience for people, and people like Facebook and YouTube are going to make the everyday person be able to experience this, which I think is pretty cool. And manufacturers like ourselves will bring you a value capture device with a lot of the other competitions, so this experience will continue to grow.
You know where I see it used in sports? Because I don't just want to see the basket, the game-winning basket. I want to spin the camera around and watch the audience as it happens and just see them go,
right.
Oh.
Or you want to see how the defense came together out on the court before they took the shot. I mean, I can see these definitely being a replacement for what we had as drop cams in our studio, which were 24-hour cameras, but they were just focused on one spot. I think a lot of people would like to see what we do behind the scenes too, like how we set up for a scene and have people come out onto the stage.
We'd have to very closely regulate that.
Yeah.
Some of those
things.
Yeah,
turn the mic off.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so very much for joining us. Again, we've been speaking with Mark Sharingo from IC Realtek. He's been showing us the Ollie. If you are looking for a low cost 360 camera that you can leave on all the time, this is probably the one to do it with. Mark, could you please tell our audience where they can find you, where they can find IC Realtek, and where they can find out more about the Ollie?
So you can find us at ollie.camera. You can find all the information. It talks about the real-life experiences of what you can do with the 360 camera. We're going to be making new announcements for accessories that we're going to have come out with the actual product. We're working on how to content, how to edit the product, how to do everything else in the future. So we're excited about the space, and because of IC Realtek being a security surveillance company, there's some B2B solutions for them that we're working on too. So 360 is just the beginning. We're looking truly forward to helping a lot of people find a solution. Because we're a little bit smaller company than most companies, but we have a lot of engineering experience, we can even adapt this with an open API to any solution that people think about. This is a new era for a lot of people. What can I do? There's a lot they can do, so we're a company that wants to help find these solutions. We're going to invest the time to create this kind of content.
There you have, developers, inventors, people who want to tinker, you have no excuse not to dive into 360. Mark, thank you again for sharing your time. And hopefully we'll get an Ollie into the studio at some point so we can finally give Leo his 360 experience.
We'd love to do that for you guys.
Okay, now, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have actually looked at a couple of 360 products for Leo.
Yeah, we have. I think one of the earliest ones I used was it was one camera that faced up into a mirror. And that, and it would record a 360 that then later had to stitch together. It was, they have come so much farther now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A little interesting.
I didn't want to play with it.
No, not so much.
But that I want to use.
I do. And you know what else I want to use? And you know what else we have to have on an NAB special?
What's that?
Drones.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know some people don't want to hear about drones, but let's be honest here. If you walk through NAB, you cannot walk for more than five booths before you run into a drone product. They are everywhere, and they're here to stay because NAB 2016 is the year that drones grew up. They're no longer an oddity. People expect them. People know what they can do, and now people are expanding on the functionality. What you can do with a drone is no longer just fly it around and take pictures. It's actually much more. We're going to talk all about that. We've got a vendor you've never heard of, probably have never seen their product, so we want to introduce you to them on KnowHow. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the second sponsor of this NAB 2016 KnowHow special. O'Brien, you know that one of the things I love doing is I love making things to go on the internet, be it content, be it servers, be it an application. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's kind of in my DNA. I like to release things and see how they do.
Right, and you want to do it in a very, not, well, inexpensive, but easy, reliable way to do it.
Precisely, and one of the big things that I need is I need some way to do it that can scale, because you never know what's going to be the next big idea, what's going to be your next big service, what's going to be the next project that you've done that people get excited by. If you did it the old way, where you actually bought the hardware and you got yourself a colo, you'd have to go through the growing pains of expanding it and making sure that your bandwidth continues to go. Don't do that. Don't do it at all, because you don't have to. We've got DigitalOcean. Oh, DigitalOcean is a different way to deploy your service, your applications, your websites on the internet. Imagine being able to take everything that's important, be it a Minecraft server or your blog.
When you say important, that's the first thing that comes
Minecraft
to mind.
Minecraft server, exactly. But put it into a container, into a droplet is what DigitalOcean calls it. And that droplet can then be run on servers in the United States, in Israel, in France, in Paris, wherever it might be. This is what DigitalOcean does. It gives you a way to deploy around the world or very locally with just the push of a button. Now, DigitalOcean is used by over 600,000 developers, including Twitch's Randall Schwartz, Aaron Newcomb, and myself. It lets you deploy and configure your droplets via a streamlined control panel or a simple API. You get to choose your OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. And it lets you select from one of the many pre-configured one-click installs like Drupal, Docker, or Node.js. You can get up and running quickly in just a few minutes, or you could build the exact infrastructure you need with root access to servers running 100% SSDs in state-of-the-art data centers around the world. DigitalOcean is highly scalable to meet the demands of a rapidly growing application or business, and you can use advanced features like floating IPs for high availability, for private networking, and for automated deployments via API. It's got an extremely active community, which is one of the things I always look for in a service company. Because if the customers are willing to come back and to help the newbies, to give us advice, to give us their experience, it means it's a name I can trust. It's so easy to get started. You can deploy your SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. Are you out of excuses yet? Because you should be. DigitalOcean is right for me. I'm sure it's right for you. They have incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing with servers starting at just $5 per month. There's also hourly pricing available, starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so that you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code KNOWHOW for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do for you. Again, DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit for free. Brian, I think it's about that time. The last guest of the show has to be someone with a cool drone.
Yes.
And we welcome Miss Natalie Chang from Autel Robotics. Natalie, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, there are going to be people who are going to be groaning in our audience. We know our audience really well. They're going to say, another drone. But why should they not say that? Why should they not say that with Autel?
So one of my favorite things about our drone, one, you can't escape the color, the orange.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's make it a better target for our PTZ so that John can get, oh, that's actually us. Yeah. Orange. We like bright orange.
Right. Especially when you're trying to find it.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, sometimes people think, okay, well, it's just a stylistic, you know, you choose your color, but really it's so visible in the sky against those clouds. Orange really pops. Yes. I love that. But another big piece about it that I think is really different is its modularity. Ooh. So you can pop this gimbal right
Ooh,
off.
Okay.
This camera mount. And that really opens out the possibilities for this technology to different use cases, different applications. It pops right back on.
It gives you like a cargo bay, a way to strap modules on depending on the mission.
Absolutely. Like, and not only that, but it really makes it good for future-proofing for consumers as well as service and repair. Autel Robotics, we care a lot about making sure the customer gets as good of an experience as possible. We have 7 days a week customer support based out of Seattle. And so these little details with the build of it is what we're thinking will really help customers both customize their product as well as be able to not have like a disaster on their hands. You don't have to solder to switch out this gimbal, for example.
Which is actually what we would do because we build our own, but you're right. I mean, we don't typically build modularity like this.
I was going to say that was the biggest point of when we do build our own drones is that we like to be able to upgrade or switch out parts or if we break something, you know, that sort of deal. But so I like this idea of it being modular. This is kind of treading the line between, you know, the building your own and buying one. And if, say you're perfectly happy with the drone, but you want to upgrade the camera or something down the line, that I would be so much happier doing that.
You don't just toss the drone.
Right. Or just feeling like you have to sell your old one because you need to get that new part for it's just that one thing. You know? Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm just looking at it, I already see some of the things. It looks like a 350-class drone. You probably got 2213 motors on this with, are these 8-inch props?
Mm-hmm.
What are the specs? So runtime, what am I looking at? What is it going to cost? Run me down so that our audience knows what they're dealing with.
All right. So you get a max 25-minute flight time with this. It costs $899, but that is the X-Star Premium model. There's two models.
Right.
The X-Star Premium is $899, and that actually comes with a hard carrying case, which I love. It is that kind of out-of-the-box experience with the built-in modularity. And it also has a 64-gigabyte memory card with this model.
Yeah, the camera resolution is 1080p or 4K?
It is a 4K camera.
4K camera. Okay, nice.
So it does 4K 30, and then it has 12-megapixel stills. The other model in the X-Star series is called just the X-Star. This one's the premium. Mm-hmm. And that one is a Wi-Fi model, slightly shorter range than this one, no carrying case, and that's $699.
Nice. Now, one of the things that that modularity does allow you to do is to take something that you've already invested in. In this case, it's the 4K camera on a gimbal and use it even when I'm not using the drone. Show me that.
So we are very excited to be showing for the very first time a prototype of our handheld gimbal. So this is, you know, the same 4K camera quality that we have. And using that competency that we had from building these drones and bringing it to your hands. You're empowering the user to have that capability, that professional camera capability, just with a stick. So this, we're really asking for customer collaboration here. We, as I said before, we try to remain as close to the customer as possible. We're showing this prototype with the intention of getting that feedback for people saying, okay, we'll show them what this does. So you have a few different camera modes, stabilizes your footage, you have a mode where you can just hold it down and it will absolutely stay totally still no matter what. You have a joystick on the back here for you know, one of the modes where you can turn it and pan it.
I think this is becoming a prerequisite for all major drone companies. Mm-hmm. And that is, once you've got a gimbal that works on a quadcopter, it will work fantastically as a handheld unit. So you better design one.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people in the drone industry and in the space are really videographers. But one of the things we're also looking at, like I said, with the modularity in the drone, is across all of our platforms, be it the drone, this handheld, or even our Kestrel, which is a fixed-wing, vertical, takeoff and landing, industrial UAS.
We wanted you to bring it over here. It was a little, it's actually big. It's really, really big.
Too big.
Hopefully we can throw some B-roll of it, because it is a fantastic craft.
Yeah, and even with that platform, we're looking at modularity. It's the nose cone is, you know, it's modular nose cone. You have a flexible payload. You can do so many different applications, and with that one on a larger scale. But again, the idea is that you can customize for all these different use cases, but it's still intuitive. Mm-hmm. That's kind of going to be consistent across all of our products.
Do you have the remote for the drone over there too?
I do.
Looks pretty familiar.
So a few things I'd like to point out. I'm going to totally nerd out for a second. My favorite part about flying this drone specifically is the remote controller. It's so intuitive. We have this line, this row of action buttons. It's one touch.
Put it right here in Jammer Beacon. There we go.
So what we have here is all you have to do is press a button to start the motors, press a button to take off and land, press a button to go home or hover the aircraft. So I had a tester come up to me yesterday and tell me that it passed the 10-year-old test, where he handed it to a 10-year-old and said, no instruction manual. This is not recommended to try at home. But he handed it over, no instruction manual, and said, here, fly this thing. And just based on the instructions we have right on the remote controller and the buttons, he was able to fly. And the sticks are, you know, you don't have to memorize the stick controls. Of course, those still traditional sticks also work as well. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we also have this LCD screen, which I love on this because it has all of your telemetry information, safety information that's so critical to have. Of course, you can mount your mobile device up here. You still can get that information up there. But to me, sometimes when I'm flying, you know, maybe my phone will die or someone will give me a phone call. Of course, you want to be in do not disturb mode, but every once in a while, you know, you never know what happens. Yeah. And what this screen does is it allows you to make sure you have an eye on all that safety information no matter what. And if you wanted to, you can just kind of put all that information away and just do pure first person on that mobile device. So it's got that uninterrupted framing of your shot. So I love that.
I'm sold.
Yeah. You know, we used to recommend to people that they buy a $50 like cheap drone on Amazon. I think like now you could just jump into it.
We're getting to that part where you can buy a more expensive drone and expect not to completely
destroy it like I did.
Yeah, we have experience with that. Natalie, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this because, you know, it is always nice to see a new drone manufacturer with a fresh take, with who has been listening to customers, what features they actually want. If they wanted to find out more about Autel Robotics, more about the drones that you offer, more about the premium package, where can they go?
Please go to autelrobotics.com, AutelRobotics. We are also on social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, all with the handle Autel Robotics. No space.
Natalie, again, thank you for dropping by. Thank you for sharing your tech. And you know what? Brian and I may have to try out your drones at some point.
Please do.
Okay. Well, Brian, that's a lot to cover.
Yeah. But I think even with just the stuff that we covered, we know what the big things have been at NAB, which is VR, 360 video, and drones.
Drones.
All of those things make me happy, though. Like, yeah. I especially the drones. Like, I just want to play with it.
No, it's going away. Now, folks, if you want to find out about any of the products that we had on this episode, if you want to find out about the representatives that we brought on or their companies, don't forget that you can always find their information in our show notes page, which, Brian, where can they find?
Oh, you know, the old, same old, twit.tv/KH. And you can also find handy links for subscribing. Or if you just want to, like Padre said, find the links to the things that we talked about today.
Yeah. And also, don't forget that you can find us on our Google Plus page. Just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. We actually hit 10,000 subscribers today.
I almost wanted to just keep it at 9,999. But
I can do that. I can just remove
just go
someone.
Back.
No, but I mean, it is a great place to go if you want to find a project to do, if you have a project you're having trouble with, or if you just want to show off. If you want to show us off your latest build, give us pictures, give us a story, give us video, we'll put it on the show.
Or if you heard about something that's going on at NAB or you thought that we didn't cover it, like how did you not hear about this thing? You can ask us about it if you go to Twitter. And I am at @cranky_hippo.
I am at @PadreSJ. You know, I almost think that we need to add a group inside of our Google group that's, well, actually, where people can correct us. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Also, we want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. To LiveU for giving us this booth. This is absolutely phenomenal. For Panasonic for giving us our PTZ cameras. For Lisa and Leo for sending us to the NAB show 2016. To Colleen, who has been a fantastic executive producer. Karsten, who has been our producer, who's brought the guests in. To New Tech for giving us the TriCaster so we can switch it. And of course,
John Dewan, the TD.
The Jammer B, who's done a fantastic job filling in for NL3. I think his name is Steve. Steve, our normal director.
The normal guy, yeah.
Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
check it out.